I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about innovative new channels of philanthropy, giving circles. Impact 100, a charitable women's giving circle, is celebrating its 10th anniversary. We're going to discuss its origins and, yes, its impact. My guests will be Donna Oklak, founding member of Impact 100, 2015 winner Tyler Goff of Indy Urban Acres, and former winner Kelly Hartman of Outside the Box. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, Facebook is No Limits WFYI, Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about an innovative approach to philanthropy, giving circles. We're going to be focusing in particular on Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis. It's a giving circle that is celebrating its 10-year anniversary. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, my guests are Donna Oklak, who is a founding member of Impact 100, Tyler Goff, who's with Indy Urban Acres and is the 2015 winner, and Kelly Hartman, who is of Outside the Box and is a former winner, who's going to talk with us about the impact a grant of this type can make for an organization and for the community. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Well, Donna, I'm going to start with you. First, tell us a little bit about Impact 100 and its genesis.
Impact 100 is a women's giving circle. We started it in 2005. By a women's giving circle, it means we work through consensus to select our grantees. We have a process. We actually found this model, this Impact 100 model, and just used it and brought it to our community. There's a network of Impact 100's, a loose network, and a loose network of giving circles throughout the country that helped us do that. When we started, we partnered with the Community Foundation to give us credibility to our story and help us find our original donors. And it's been a dream come true that it's resonated with our community and done as well as it has.
How did the name Impact 100 come about?
Well, the real genesis of the idea is 100 women coming together and giving grants of $100,000.
So that means each woman's on the hook for $1,000, right?
Well, we do.
My math is good here.
Well, we do shared membership, so okay. It doesn't have to be that. And we also do where you can write a check and pay a payment plan, so to speak. But each year we do start at zero and look for those 100 women so that we can give $100,000 out. Our year is divided in two parts. Our actual year for recruiting members, as we call it, kind of like a sorority, starts now and goes until December 31st, which is at the end of the taxable year. And then from January 1st to June 9th, we give out our grants. We do the process for that.
How hard was it to recruit those first 100?
Well, it was interesting.
Since you were a founding member.
Yeah, I actually was co-founder with a lady by the name of Kelly Norwalk. And it was not easy, but it was easier than you might think. It really, sustaining it is harder than the initial beginning. We actually, there was an Impact 100 in Cincinnati, and we showed their video in order to get women to join us. And it worked. It worked.
Okay. And the criteria, other than the fact that you, so if you raise, your goal is to raise at least $100,000.
Correct.
Right? And you give all of it away every year? You start at zero, you say?
We start at zero every year, yes. The goal is to give it all away. We do have a friends or an administrative fund that you can give to in addition. But when you give the $1,000, it will all go to the grantee. It's a volunteer-based organization. which is something that Indianapolis doesn't have at this structure that often. And it's mostly for women. So we're teaching women how to learn about their community and be good philanthropists.
And I promise I'm going to pull Kelly and Tyler into the conversation here in just a second. But I want to ask, what prompted you to think, since you and Kelly Norwalk mm-hmm. were the founding members, what prompted you to think that this approach was something not just that the city needed, but that would be fulfilling for you, that there weren't other opportunities for philanthropy for you? Why was it this one that spoke to you so powerfully?
Well, it spoke to me because it's participation in philanthropy, participatory philanthropy. And that is the model where philanthropy is going in this next generation, that donors want to know where their money goes and they want to have a direct say in it. And this model that we took off the shelf and worked in Indianapolis definitely speaks to that.
Kelly Hartman, you are a former winner. What did you win for?
Outside the Box. We won in 2011, and we provide services for mostly adults with intellectual disabilities who, after high school, may not be ready for college or trade school or career yet, and so we help them learn the skills they need to get there.
Was it just general support, or was there some new initiative that you were trying to roll out?
We actually had just moved into an old nursing home that needed to be completely renovated for our program. And we were doing it sort of on a prayer. And so we asked Impact 100 to support us in a capital way where we could do actual improvements to our building.
And what changes did it make for your organization? I'm assuming you got the full, did you get the 100,000?
We did. And a lot of people don't know this. And I still think it's a great story. It was the first ever grant application we had written. So,
the funny thing—it's probably all downhill.
Yeah, because we just kept saying, "Wow, is it really this hard?" Every time you try and write a grant, yeah. when we applied, when we put in our application with Impact 100, we only served 64 individuals, and we had a waiting list at the time. And I can say that not only did it impact those 64 individuals and the many staff and families that we work with. But today we serve almost 300 individuals across central Indiana. It was a game changer for Outside the Box. And the relationships that we have and continue to have with Impact 100 women is just unbelievable. And it's so different than any other, you know, grant source that you might look at. I mean, this is really almost being adopted by women who really believe in you and want you to succeed. And it goes beyond the year that you're involved with the grant.
How did you identify Impact 100? I mean, obviously, if this is your first one, I'm still kind of amazed.
I probably shouldn't tell people that.
you got that lucky right out of the gate. But how did you identify Impact 100 as the first organization?
I actually had lunch for an unrelated reason with two members at the time mm-hmm. who were getting to know more about Outside the Box. And I remember at lunch, they said, "Have you ever heard of Impact 100? And I said, "No." And they're like, "Well, let's introduce you to the process. And if you guys think you're ready, you can apply for that grant." And we did, and we won.
And Tyler, you just found out, right, that
last Tuesday
you're a recipient. Yeah. So 1 week ago, you're a week old in this knowledge.
It's been a crazy week, yes.
Yeah, and same thing, the $100,000 or
yes,
same level of support.
Yeah.
And how do you plan to spend the money?
Well, I represent Indy Urban Acres, and we're an 8-acre organic farm on the east side. We donate 100% of our produce to area food pantries, so that's some 35,000 pounds of food are going to families in need. A farm that donates all of its produce is going to need to find a way to generate some income. We've been basically, all of our income comes from philanthropy and grants. Last year, we started selling flowers on a small basis, farmers markets, and we did really well. So we're going to expand that operation to 2 acres to be able to generate even more earned income. But ultimately, it's our path to sustainability. And, you know, our dream is to have Indy Urban Acres on each side of the city helping families in need. And this is the gateway to do just that.
So the $100,000 that you've gotten this year, where will that go?
It's going to build a brand new farm.
A brand new farm, and where will that new farm be?
Just down the so we're at between Shadeland and Franklin on 21st Street. We're just moving right down 21st near German Church.
Okay, If you are just joining us, we are talking about innovative new approaches to philanthropy, particularly giving circles. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, Donna, what are the criteria? I mean, obviously, Kelly makes the whole process sound very, very easy. but what are the criteria for getting support from Impact 100? How do you go about making the decisions? Because, you know, these are worthy projects, but there are an awful lot of worthy projects in Indianapolis and Indiana. Are you confined to a specific geographic area, for example? In terms
we have lots of roles, as grant makers always do. But we, you know, it's an effective and simple process at the same time. Our geographic area is Marion County and the Donut Counties. That's why we call ourselves Indianapolis, Greater Indianapolis. So it's not just Marion County. Then nonprofits in the fall should have a big idea that they want to dream and they want to have funding for. We do a workshop session on that to help nonprofits know how to apply. The nonprofits apply in five categories. They self-select which category, and the categories are very, very suitable for our community: the arts, education, environment, family, and health and wellness. So they cover all of the areas, and then a committee of volunteer women that belong to Impact agree to study the proposals and look at them and start what I call a winnowing process, with the letter of intent, which is the first step of the nonprofit, to a full application, to a site visit, and then to the podium. And the podium is what these where these two nonprofit leaders triumph.
How many applications, requests for support do you get over the
That's a good question. I always like to answer it with the fact
that Kelly's going to guarantee that you get a lot more.
After today, Well, which is good because it really isn't about the quantity that we get. It's about the quality. So in those early years when Indianapolis was learning about us and trying to figure us out, we got well over 120 applications. But now that we have a very savvy nonprofit community, we got about 65 this year.
Okay, so you actually have gotten fewer of them as time goes on.
Because, as I said, it's about the quality.
And what define quality?
Those that meet our criteria and really are trying to do some innovative work that will be that is able to answer a sustainability answer in their proposal.
Okay, so sustainability is one of the things that you look for. Do the number of people that are being served or helped?
But there is a two-edged sword there in that we call it a long touch and a short touch. So they're both equal, but the women have to decide which one they want to support, you know, whether they're looking for. This one that won this year, Indy Urban Acres, is really a short touch. But we had a number in the mix that were long touches.
And do you try to vary among those five groups from year to year, or does it matter? Are there priorities?
It doesn't matter. It's up to the women in the committee, and those committee members change every year. I would add to the story of Indy Parks, which really represents Indy Urban Acres, is that they were in our finalist pool for this was the fourth time. So it took them. Well, Kelly went right into it. It took Indy Urban Acres 4 years to succeed.
So, and do you carry the applications over?
We do not. Every year we start over.
You have to renew.
Yes.
Okay. And of those 65, how many of them make it down to that, get beyond the letter of interest?
Each committee does their own winnowing process, but there are 10 that are selected for site visits. And those are really the ones that get the serious consideration. And once you get to the podium this year, you were guaranteed $21,000.
So do you do more than the single $100,000 gift?
We do residual grants that are unrestricted.
So this year we had a number of women that were $1,000 donors, and they get to vote. There's also an option which we've called syndicates, which is a shared membership, which 2, 3, or 4 women can pool their money together, but that means they share their vote. So we had $184,000 given this year. So Tyler and Indy Urban Acres won the $100,000, but the additional $84,000 was split amongst the other four finalists.
And I can give you that list if you're interested.
I'll tell you what, I think we will take that on the other side. We are approaching a break right now. If you are just joining us, we are talking about new approaches to philanthropy in honor of the 10th anniversary of Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis, a women's charitable giving circle. My guests are Donna Oklak, who is a founding member of Impact 100, Tyler Goff, who is with Indy Urban Acres and is the 2015 winner, and Kelly Hartman, Outside the Box, who is a former winner. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about giving circles, an innovative approach to philanthropy. In particular, we're talking about Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. My guests are Donna Oklak, who is a founding member of Impact 100, Tyler Goff of Indy Urban Acres, who is the 2015 winner, just announced a week ago, and Kelly Hartman of Outside the Box, who's a former winner and also involved in the organization. Well, just before we went to the break, we established that not only is there the big prize, the one that that Kelly and Tyler have won in the past, or their organizations, I probably should emphasize, you guys personally didn't pocket the 100K. Your organizations and your missions did, and are going to be used it for charitable purposes, but that there also are other funds available through Impact 100, including some other winners. And Donna, you said you have a list of the other winners.
Well, actually, the four other winners that were on the podium on June 9th were WFYI with Ted Green Films.
Thank you.
Who wanted to make a movie about Christmas addicts. Yeah. And the education was Oasis, which was a senior mentoring program for third grade readers. And family was Lutheran Child and Family Services for a teen program, runaway teens. So that was the long touch, so to speak. And the health and wellness was Genesaret Free Clinic for a women's health recovery program, also for a long touch.
And each one of those, the other four, got $21,000?
Correct.
And is the process for selection similar? We touched on that a little bit before we went to the break. For those $21,000 gifts, the same, or is it a different process?
Well, it all happens the same evening, and that's why the night of philanthropy, as we could call it, on June 9th, is so inspiring to everyone, because it's kind of like the Oscars, where you you know right then what you're going to take home with you. So Tyler got the big check, but those other four who all had participated in the process all were equal until the women had made that live vote on June 9th.
Oh, so they vote right there.
Right.
Oh, yeah, with the ballot in writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Tyler, he got to talk. Everybody gets 7 minutes, mm-hmm. No more than 7 minutes. No visual aids, no handouts. Nothing happens other than you stand up and you talk for 7 minutes. And I can tell you, it is one of the most frightening 7 minutes of your entire life, because you know the women in front of you will determine whether you win or not.
So you're not allowed to prepare any remarks you said no notes, no.
Well, you can have, but you can't hand out anything.
Okay. So you can have your index
no
cards
PowerPoint.
Or whatever, no PowerPoint, no audiovisual.
Right. It's daunting.
So what did you talk about, Tyler, when you were making...
Sure. and it's
there's no
said,
other way to say it, your pitch at
right,
that point.
And it is, and it's something that, you know, this is actually the Indianapolis Parks Foundation, which is Indian Urban Acres, is a project that has been through this process multiple times. Last year, I actually gave the speech and then walked away with one of the residual grants, not the $100,000. So we reapplied. And I think the lessons that I learned the first time is really you need to talk about not only your organization, but the important thing is who you're touching. And you know, they unveil the check, and it might say Indianapolis Parks Foundation, but ultimately it's the 80,000 kids in our city that are food insecure. And that's who we're trying to help. Is we need to make that pitch to the ladies at Impact 100 of what that $100,000 is going to do.
What was your pitch like, Kelly, when you walked away with on your first try? It still boggles me.
I know. It boggles me as well. We talked specifically about what Outside the Box could do differently for folks in our community with intellectual disabilities than was available in the existing programs. And we were also able to show that we had already gotten some support from others, so we weren't going to be completely reliant on the $100,000 grant. And honestly, we told stories that made people cry. You know, and I think what Tyler said is you really have to pull the heartstrings. I mean, the great thing about now as a member giving $1,000 is that I get to make an impact and I get to make a difference. But it's not just me. And with the help of all these women, I can be part of something amazing. And so the process of not only receiving the grant and being impacted as an organization, but now being a member and being part of the process of giving that grant is really unbelievable.
How quickly did you become a member after?
About 30 seconds.
The next 30
seconds. 30 seconds.
You know, I just feel like when you're given, there's a responsibility to give back. And I was so impacted personally by the experience, I really wanted to be part of that group.
What are the satisfactions, Donna? I mean, obviously, you're asking, that's a simple question. I can see, you know, you're troubled by it. But, you know, there are other ways for people to get involved. This sounds, though, like a very participatory model. Mm-hmm. And there's almost like a town meeting quality to this, that you bring everybody together and right there on the spot, you know, you decide whose life gets changed.
Well, you know, not many of us can give a gift of $100,000. And I will tell you that the gift that I gave to Tyler multiplied by 100 times. And it just doesn't happen that often. And I go back to our first grantee was Eskenazi Health. At that time was Wishard. And there was nothing in Indianapolis like Impact at that time. And I shook the hands of those people during the process as I watched it go forward. And it felt like I was at a wedding, you know. And you know how involved you get when you go to a wedding and how well you know those people. And that was the feeling that I had. And it happens every year because it isn't just me that gives that $1,000. It's 100 plus of us. And it's effective philanthropy and it resonates.
How did were you involved in philanthropy before Impact 100?
Yeah. I call myself a guru of philanthropy. I have a degree from the School of Philanthropy. I went back as an older student, and I've studied this model of effective giving, you know, for the last 10 to 15 years.
Okay, so you were looking for an opportunity to create something like this, presumably.
In a way. I mean, not exactly. You know, I'm a bit entrepreneurial myself, I will say that. I thought Indianapolis was the right place for something like this. We have a lot of people that have modeled our idea in different ways. A lot of groups that are giving just like we are. There's Giving Some. There's a woman's Christian faith organization called Calio. I mean, there's Ball State has a discovery group. So, I mean, philanthropy begets philanthropy very much. And the time was right for this idea in our community.
And the Impact 100 idea, the idea of, you know, as I think you say, the fact that your $1,000 can leverage $100,000 worth of impact. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the idea of buying a house or whatever, that you can leverage a much larger investment that way. How hard was it initially to, you know, to sell women on getting involved in doing something like this? Because, as you say, there were models elsewhere, but we didn't have anything like this, quite like this in Indianapolis.
It wasn't that hard to get people on the bandwagon in the beginning because everyone likes to jump on a new idea. Where the challenge for us came was in 2008 when the economy hit and we had to regroup a bit. And at one time, we had grandiose visions of being able to grow to $500,000 or 500 women. And we had to kind of back that off a bit. And that's where we changed the model for us to give one big grant and then the residual grants. So it wasn't quite winner take all. But that was a bit of a learning process of what was best for Indianapolis. The Community Foundation, CICF, was great in helping us get it started. It took us 2 years to get our own 501c3. So it's a process. I will tell you that getting 100 women plus on all on the same page is not always the easiest thing to do. Well, but on the next breath, I will say never doubt that 100 what 100 women plus can accomplish.
Well, and I wasn't chuckling about the 100 women. I just think getting 100 people together on anything is an almost impossible task. If you are just joining us, we are talking about Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis. It's a charitable giving circle that is celebrating its 10-year anniversary. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Or on Twitter at WFYI. So is the membership then limited to 100 women?
It is not limited, no.
And it's not limited? So how many women do you have involved now?
We had actually 184 women involved on our roster for this year. We raised some funds on the side significantly just for our anniversary for the last 2 years. And we have, not everyone contributes $1,000, so we have these shared memberships that Kelly mentioned, where you can contribute $250 and fully participate in the process until it comes to the end vote where you share the vote.
Okay. And another question, is it limited to women?
It is limited to women to be involved in the process. However, men can contribute to our administrative fund.
John, if you'd like to write us a check today in support of Impact, we'd be happy to take that.
Oh, I work in the not-for-profit world. They take not-for-profit very seriously. Kelly, talk to me a little bit about the satisfactions then. When you say, you know, it took you about 30 seconds after you'd been involved in the process from the other end, what is it you get out of doing this? Because obviously you're involved in good works and in other parts of your life here. It's not like, you know, you don't have other outlets for your charitable or altruistic impulses. What is it about this organization that sort of said, called out to you and said, wow, I need to be involved here?
When you look at over the course of the past 10 years, the folks who have gotten the $100,000 grants, there are names in that list that really were unknowns when they got the grant and have really, really changed our community. And so I think the opportunity to see what Impact has done to this point and the hope for what we can continue to do in the community is a really exciting process, because I'm not just, you know, giving money and then I get to see some change happen. I get to join with a bunch of women who are making a collective decision about how we're going to change our community. And beyond that, I have an open invitation to be immersed in what happens with that organization. I can volunteer with those organizations. What I love is learning so much about the people through the letter of intent and the grant process. Lots of not-for-profits that I may not have had the experience of getting to know previously to being part of Impact 100.
Is it, you know, in terms of that that open invitation to get involved with the organizations, it sounds like that's a big part of all of this, too, that you create relationships with the organizations. Tell me a little bit about how that works.
Well, I always like to call it the ripple effect. It isn't always the money that we give, but the money that we influence. And money can be time and talent and treasure. But there are many of our members that go to serve on boards of these nonprofits that they learn about. And it's just an awesome experience. You never know what direction it will take you. And the power of consensus that our women in selecting organizations like Outside the Box and Indie Urban Acres is one I truly believe in, it's endorsed every year.
Tyler, what are ways that you anticipate Impact 100, these now 184 women apparently, being involved at Indy Urban Acres?
Sure. I think last year we had some 800 people come out and volunteer. And with all this rain, we've got a lot of weeds, so the invitation's open. But really,
it really is grassroots.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not a metaphor.
But, I mean, really, these 184 women are some of the most influential people in our city. And just to get them talking about what we do and our mission is huge. But the issue of food insecurity, this is an issue that can be solved if people are putting their hearts and minds behind it. And that number of 150,000 people that are food insecure, this is kind of these 184, the most influential people in the city saying it's time to end this and it's time to get that number to zero. And that's, I would say, is the most exciting thing.
With this 100,000, I mean, that you're getting, I mean, how many people will that serve? You talked about the 35,000 pounds of food.
Yeah, it's
produce. I mean, how many people, because we're talking about how you leverage these philanthropic impulses to make an impact, which I am assuming is also how you got the name, who's it going to affect here?
Right. So when you think of 35,000 pounds of food, what does that even look like? So we break it down into servings.
Lunch for my son, unfortunately.
Right.
But, yeah.
We break it down into servings, and basically that serves 200,000 servings or 80,000 people that food touches per year. But what the second flower farm will do is just next year that number will bump up to even more because we're moving the flowers off of the farm going to full vegetables. So you're talking 250,000 servings just next year. But then you talk year after year after year, our ability to add more farms and more sites around the city, ultimately this $100,000 will end up helping hundreds of thousands of people throughout the years in Indianapolis.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the 10th anniversary of Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis. That is a women's charitable giving circle. My guests are Donna Oaklack, Tyler Goff, and Kelly Hartman. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, Donna, what do they do? I mean, you keep talking about how they arrive at consensus. The women who make the choice, your members, consensus is not always an easy thing to achieve, as Congress will demonstrate on a daily basis. What happens when the process is more difficult? Have there been times when you can't get everybody to agree or even get to a majority?
Well, we get to consensus by whatever it takes, and we have a group of women that chair each committee that's their job to find consensus. I mean, there have been years in the 10 when I remember a committee was tied and they couldn't decide who to put on the podium. And so there were, let's say, five on one side and five on the other. And actually one woman just recused herself so that they could reach consensus. And the good part about that is it's good to have tough choices, right? I mean, you can look at it like it's hard, but it's also very valid to have good choices. It's never easy, but it's always rewarding, if that makes any sense to you.
So how long, like on the, this final thing where everybody goes to the podium and you're guaranteed 21,000 with the possibility of the 100,000 at that point. How long does that evening run?
I mean, we're pretty quick. We started like about 6:30 with the presentations, and we have an answer by 8:15. So we eat dinner in between, but 35 minutes of presentation, and then we eat, and then we vote.
That's the longest dinner.
It is a long dinner on your side.
On your side
when you're waiting,
yeah.
It seems like it's 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, and is it a paper ballot?
It's a paper ballot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and is the process then simply that it is a majority vote?
Yes. One vote.
Okay, so
it is whichever of the five gets the most votes.
Votes. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So
it is not
have
majority.
To be, it can be a plurality.
Whoever
has, you can be a minority winner then.
Just kind of like our political process. You can win by one vote. Yeah.
Well, if you are just joining us, we are talking about charitable giving circles in honor of Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis's 10th anniversary. My guests are Donna Oaklack, who is a founding member of Impact 100, Tyler Goff of Indy Urban Acres, whose organization is the 2015 winner, just collected $100,000 last Tuesday night. And Kelly Hartman, who's also involved with Impact 100 and is outside the box and is a former winner. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking today about charitable giving circles in honor of the 10-year anniversary of Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis, a women's charitable giving circle. My guests are Donna Oaklack, who is a founding member of Impact 100, Tyler Goff, whose Indy Urban Acres, which is part of the Park Foundation, was the 2015 big recipient. $100,000 check was delivered to them just a week ago today. And then Kelly Hartman, who is with Outside the Box, also was involved with Impact 100. She won just a few years ago the $100,000 gift and has been talking about the impact. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Dee did and send us an email at nolimits at WFYI.org. Dee says, kudos to Kelly Hartman for her efforts in serving persons who have some of the greatest challenges in their lives. I have seen firsthand persons' lives changed through her caring, compassion, and forward-thinking outside the box. Well, in addition to probably feeling somewhat gratifying to hear that, is one of the products of this, I mean, Tyler, I think, talked about the residual impact of getting this kind of support. Does it elevate the profile of your efforts, too, so that more people are aware of what you're trying to do? Kelly?
I would say absolutely. The women of Impact 100 are so nurturing of what they believe in. And like Donna said, many of them go on to serve on boards. We actually have two Impact 100 members on our board now. And the women are great about sharing our mission to their own circles of influence. And it just really helps. Like Donna said, the ripple effect is amazing. It's really hard to describe how Outside the Box's mission was amplified and how we were able to impact more people through our experience and our ongoing relationship with Outside the Box and Impact 100.
Donna, since this is 10 years, that mm-hmm. means, you know, by now you've given away more than $1 million.
1.6 to be exact.
1.6. Could you name some of the previous winners? Obviously, we've got two of the 10 here. We've got 20% of them represented the big numbers, but and you know some of the impact that they have had both on the community.
Well, I did happen to bring my cheat sheet list.
You did. That's
so,
good.
So in 2014, we recognized Social Health Association for a bullying program, and Social Health is an organization with United Way that I had never heard of personally. In 2013, we recognized Tinley Collegiate Academy, which is a middle school all girls with a STEM lab. Mm. So that was the first science lab for the girls. In 2012, we recognized Jameson Camp for some outdoor experiences, which is a camp that's right inside Marion County. 2011, Outside the Box, as we've talked about. In 2010, it was Rocksteady Boxing, which was a really neat organization, also kind of on the bubble of needing a boost. And that was for Parkinson's. They fight Parkinson's disease. In 2009, Outreach, which is an organization you probably have heard of, but in 2009 you really hadn't. It's a mentoring program for homeless children. In 2008, we honored Heron High School. And in 2008, we also recognized Horizon House, who needed some funds. 2007, Indy Reads had just been was kind of struggling with the library's issues, if you remember back in the old days, and we gave them a boost up with $100,000. In 2007, there was a unique partnership with Crane House in Fairbanks to end the cycle, the cycle of drug abuse. And in the first year, as I've said already, Eskenazi for the Picard Health Center won in that year.
Are there any that, if you've given away $1.6 million, have they all been winners, or have there been times that you've thought, okay, that money might not have had the impact?
They've all been winners, especially the $100,000 grants. There have been, in some ways, you are taking a risk when you do this work, and that's inevitable. There have been some nonprofits that have made it to the podium that are no longer viable organizations in our community. But the power of consensus, finding the ultimate winner has really worked.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about Impact 100 of Greater Indianapolis. It is a women's charitable giving circle that is celebrating its 10th anniversary. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Roger, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Well, I just have a question. Has there been any discussion about expanding the program to other counties around Indianapolis?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's directed to me, I would tell you that we do serve Marion County and the Donut County. So all of the donuts, which are on our website, are eligible to apply.
So it's Marion County and the eight counties around it, right?
Exactly,
so,
yes.
And, at other times I probably could name all eight, but it's easier just to take a look at a map. Are there, has the success here inspired other parts of Indiana to think about Impact 100 as a model?
There have, well, as I told you, there was Giving Some, which is for a young professionals group. There have been a number of community foundations around the state that have giving circles housed in their activities. So that definitely has been a ripple effect.
And has there been, I probably ought to ask on behalf of my gender, has there been any response on the male side of the equation to create something similar?
Well, Giving Some is co-ed. Okay. It is not just for women. It is both genders.
But I guess what I'm saying is there an equivalent of an Impact 100 for men?
Well, there isn't one per se right now in this area that I'm aware of. The way women are collaborative works uniquely for women and the deliberative process that we do that.
Yeah.
But I've had men say to me, oh, maybe someday we'll do that. But it takes a lot of work for volunteers to run this organization. It isn't for the weak of heart.
What are the heartaches involved in it?
Making sure that we have $100,000 each year to give away. So getting that recruitment, stashed away in your pocket, ready to go for when you time to give the grants out.
Okay, so if you said 2008 and 2009 were really, really tough years, how long did it take you to get to that $100,000?
Well, we got there, but just by the skin of our teeth, we got to, we didn't have 180 to give away. We had like 120, 116. I mean, we went down to that low in some of those years.
And is it capped at $1,000, or can a woman who is particularly interested in this say, I'd like to give $5,000 to this year or $10,000?
It isn't capped, but you only get one big vote at the end. You don't get multiple votes the more you
so
put
your,
in it.
So your $5,000 won't buy you five votes.
No, we don't stack the deck.
Okay. But what we did this year, which was in honor of our 10th year anniversary, was there are women who give more than $1,000. And towards that end, what we did this year was we had scholarships for 10 young women in our community who are, forward-thinking young philanthropists who we wanted to mentor and allow them to go through the process and learn about Impact 100. And so there's opportunity for your money to really impact people and impact the process, even though you only get one vote.
In terms of that, you talked, Donna, about at one point there were plans to grow this to, say, Impact 500 or some such, and you've sort of scaled that back now, at least scaled it back when the recession hit.
Mm-hmm.
What does the future hold for it? I mean, is it a kind of stasis where you just hope to continue having this level of success and impact? Kelly's shaking her head.
Well, we haven't let go of our goals. But we need to be realistic as well. There is an Impact 100 in Pensacola that has given out $500,000. So there are other communities that have met that goal. I mean, more the merrier. We welcome all. We also welcome partial memberships as well, so that we just want you to see our process and enjoy it so that you can experience it and be quite the advocate that Kelly is.
And where do you look for your members?
Word of mouth is really our biggest tool.
But could you give me a profile of some of the women who become involved, Kelly?
Every single kind of woman that I've ever come across could be part of Impact 100. It's such a diverse group. It cuts across, you know, all kinds of ages and socioeconomic levels, and the diversity is an amazing factor of being part of Impact 100, the different kinds of women you get to meet. And I know someone out there is wondering how do they find out about this and how do they find out more. I would encourage anybody to go to www.impact100, and that is impact100indy.org, and all the membership information is there. I will declare out loud as a board member for Impact 100 that I would love for next year for us to achieve 215 votes, which would allow us to give two $100,000 grants, and then each residual member would get at least $5,000.
Okay, so if you get to more than 200 women involved, you do the... There is a direct correlation there.
We'd vote for two.
Right. Okay, for two of them.
So we'll always have five finalists. But the more members, the more money, the more votes, the more we can give.
And what's the minimum if you are a residual member? If, as you say, one of those where you sort of band together and have a single vote, is it $250?
Four people can put in $250
each. Okay, so $250 is the floor then to get involved in some fashion.
And what we've seen, too, is a lot of businesses in town like to allow their young women to have the opportunity to learn more about not-for-profit and philanthropy. And so you may have a business pay $1,000 and allow two, three, or four of their employees come in and share a vote and understand the process.
And I probably ought to say, since you, Kelly, you in particular, have inspired everybody in the city to think that it's really easy to get money from Impact
That's
100.
That's good. But get your letter of interest together.
In terms of doing that letter of interest, what sorts of questions should they be answering in that letter? You know, the implied questions that you...
Well, it's a very simple application on that letter of inquiry or letter of intent. There's probably about 10 questions. That letter is, those questions are actually on our website right now. So if you would go to the how to apply for a grant, you could start formulating those answers immediately.
Okay, and what sort of questions are they?
What do you plan to do with the money? How do you plan to be sustainable? Why do you want to do this? Who will you serve? Those kinds of questions.
Okay, and those are the heart. And presumably, do you have to be a 501c3?
Yes.
And all of that, and recognized as a 501c3, which is a charitable organization or a not-for-profit organization, and which contributions are tax deductible?
You could have someone speaking on your behalf as a 501c3. That is possible, but we do encourage you to be a 501c3.
And Kelly, you're talking about perhaps a new area here of trying to create these scholarships. Would those be to individuals? Is that an ambition?
That's what we did this year. We had young women who were interested in learning about the process. And in celebration of our 10th anniversary, we were excited about mentoring that interest. And so we had 10 young women who got to vote this year as scholarship recipients.
And how large were the scholarships?
$1,000
each. $1,000
each. So that we sponsored them, basically, that we sponsored their membership.
Okay, and Tyler, are you going to be back pitching next year, or is $100,000 enough for you?
I'm going to be pretty busy next year. But I will say that, it is a process to go through the grant writing and then preparing for the speech. But that's also kind of the fun. The preparation, the anticipation of this huge night is something that we've been looking forward to for months.
And is the anticipation and the fun come from, you know, it sounds to me like a lot of the questions, Donna, in this process are to drive you back to thinking about first principles, you know, what it is you are actually trying to accomplish here and what motivated you at the first place. Is that process of going through deciding, you know, even that you are going to apply and going through it, kind of a process of renewal for those of you who are in this work? Because a lot of not-for-profit work, you don't necessarily see the impact immediately.
I mean, for us, our mission to basically solve hunger, especially childhood hunger, by providing fresh fruits and vegetables to people in need is something that we as the Indianapolis Parks Foundation deeply believe in, and we believe in our mission. And we know that if we can go out and talk to people and kind of pitch that mission to people, they'll buy into it too. And, you know, we only have 7 minutes, and it's something that we've, you know, I think day of I probably went over the what I was going to say 30 times, and I actually think I went over a little bit, so it was tough.
I was giving you the evil eye.
Do they have someone sitting there? They have someone sitting there with a stopwatch and
With these big cards, and they hold them up.
So it's like a presidential debate almost, and sounds like he observed the rules just
it's
as much
pretty
as
intense.
Presidential candidate does. What's been the hardest one to say no to in the process? I mean, the winner, if, I guess what I'm getting at is not everybody, you know, if you've got 65 applications, is there somebody who's been knocking at the door for years? And I guess you don't have to identify the organization, but that is tough. You can tell that there's support there for it, but it's been not just quite enough.
Well, the idea has to resonate with the majority of people on a committee in order to make it through the process. And I can't think of one offhand, but I will tell you, you know, the Indy Parks, it came 4 times and it took that long to win. That's pretty much endurance, in my opinion, and they deserve to win.
Thank you.
But they walked away with 21,000 last year, right?
But that number varies each year depending on how much we give. So it's not always that much. I think last year it was like $4,000, a residual grant.
You know, what's really interesting, and I hate to pick on you, Tyler, but I've been a member each time Indy Parks Foundation has come before us. I don't remember what they pitched before. And I think that's the neat thing about Impact is I absolutely was cheering for you this year, but it was compelling. And so it obviously, that compelling factor is a really important thing to get the ladies to vote for you because they need to know how this project is going to impact our community. And even though you were the same guy that presented last year, the idea and the project this year was just amazing.
What committee do you serve on, Kelly?
This year I was not on a committee, but I was involved heavily in organizing the 10th anniversary dinner.
Okay. And what was special about the 10th, other than the fact that it was 10th anniversary, how was it distinctive from other dinners?
We had the scholarship members, which was a really neat process for us to mentor people. The other thing is that we invited all of the previous $100,000 grant winners back, and everyone was represented. And we got to recognize 20 women who have been part of our organization from day one. So 20 of our founding members were celebrated that night for being part of Impact from the very beginning.
Well, I'd like to congratulate all of you. Tyler, obviously, for picking up a $100,000 check. And Donna and Kelly for the great work that you have done in our community. Thank you very much. I'd also like to thank our listeners for joining us today. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.